program tomorrow. We're broadcasting almost live all the way from Falls Church, Virginia. I'm your host, Yusuf Estes, and the national chaplain for the Muslims here in the United States. And what I'm going to be talking about for the next few minutes is the subject of Allah, and we already discussed why we use the word Allah as opposed to saying the word God. But now we want to break it down and talk about it a little bit more to understand it from a linguistic point of view. As we already said in the earlier program, that the word Allah pre-exists actually recorded history, whereas the word God is something less than 1,000 years old. The word Allah is used in the Hebrew, in the Aramaic, and the Arabic, and all the scriptures revealed for the monotheistic religion. So now we'll move up to this, and what is the source of the word Allah in Arabic language? Because this is something we're going to be speaking about from a linguistic point of view at this stage. Okay? And I do have to pause from time to time to be sure that we're still broadcasting, so I'm switching between two different settings on the computer here. I ask everybody to be patient with me because I only have two hands. I'm trying to think how to grow a third one, but for right now, I'm just using the two to have. We'll begin. The word Allah in Arabic language is Allah's name, and there's no doubt about that. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, God Almighty, calls himself in his book, the Quran, and he says that he is Allah. Qul hu Allah, hu ahad, Allahu samad, lam yalid, wa lam yulad, wa lam yakul lahu kufuwan ahad. And that's going to be explained in a little bit, but right now what we want to do is just notice that the word Allah is there. Allah, Allahu, Allah he is, and then it explains who he is. Okay? But it comes from the root in Arabic language, which is ilah or ilaha. Now, ilaha means a god, and in English you would put a little g, and that means anything that can be worshipped. Okay? A person can worship a rock, a stick, a stone, a bone. They can worship the sunset, they can worship stars, and in fact, people do that. People worship everything. So that would be a little god. That would mean anything in Arabic language, anything that is worshipped. And it is one of the names that Allah is, Al-Ilah. He is the God, Al-Ilah. But when it comes to the word Allah, this is a form of the word Ilah or Ilaha that cannot be made plural. Now, Elohim is in a plural form. Allahumma is a form of the word Allah. But when it's Allah, it cannot be plural. This is singular and uniquely singular because it's like one with no two coming after it. And additionally, it cannot be made gender. There can be no gender in this. You cannot genderize the word Allah. You can make it male, no. Nor female, neither one, no. So it is a word that means the only thing, the only one to be worshipped, which is the perfect name for Allah when you consider the next part of our topic, which we're going to talk about is what do we as Muslims believe about Allah? And because some people would say, well, I believe in God, isn't that enough? And I've heard a lot of people, Muslims trying to talk to the people of the book or the Bible about God, and they forget to mention the fact that we don't believe necessarily all the things that other people believe about God, and they don't believe what we believe. So that's why you have to clarify. I like to use the word Allah because we can clarify what we mean by what we say. If we say God, they might think that we believe what they believe. For instance, for us, Allah is perfect in every single one of his attributes. He's the knower, and we mean by that he's the all-knowing. There is no human, there's no creation of Allah that has knowledge like he knows. His knowledge is of everything that he has created. There isn't anything that he's created that he doesn't know about. And that's a heavy statement. It means he knows every hair on the head of every single human. He knows every hair on every animal. He knows every feather on every fowl, every bird. He knows every drop of water. He knows every planet, every star. His knowledge cannot be compared to human knowledge. When we talk about Allah and his knowledge, we're not talking about something like a human being to say, oh, yes, see, now where did I leave that? I left my keys where? Now, oh, yeah, No, it's not like this, okay? So when we say Allah, we're talking about the only one to worship, and all of these attributes that go with it. Let's look at a couple of more attributes. We, as Muslims, by the way, have over 99, the 99 that are known, and then there's another, but it's another subject. But the 99 attributes, Isma wa Sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, include such things as As-Salam. That means peace, but it means He's the peace. You can be peaceful, but Allah is the peace. Okay? And Al-Wadud. And this is the loving. You can be a loving person, but He's the loving. There isn't any that can love like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's Ar-Rahman. That's the merciful. You can be merciful, but you're not the merciful. Let's give a couple of more, and then we'll try to break some of them down so we can get a better handle on what we're talking about. He's the healing, and He is the seeing. But He's all hearing, and He's all hearing. It means that there isn't anything that happens except that He sees it, and there's no sound that happens except that He hears it. These things, by the way, that we're talking about are very serious and very important, because not only do they build the foundation for the correct belief in Allah, but they help offset the wrong beliefs that come up against you as you're explaining your belief to other people. Okay, let's take, for instance, the one about the all-hearing, okay? Because we say that He hears everything. If there is a sound in the universe, Allah, He hears it. Not only that, He knew what it would sound like before it happened, and He knew what the duration of the sound would be, He knew the frequency, He knew the pitch, He knows sounds inside out, because He is the all-hearing, okay? Now, some of the disbelievers have, and this is thousand-year-old question, thousands of years, people have been asking people, other people, about their beliefs. So there have always been those who don't believe in God at all. And they challenge the people who do believe. And one of the questions they used to ask them is, well, suppose there's a desert island somewhere that has a tree on it, okay? And the tree gets old, and it rots, and it falls over. But there's no animals, no people, there's nobody there to hear it. Will it still make a sound? Now, you might laugh when I say this, but that's actually a question that you hear many times in philosophy classes. If anybody any of you have ever attended a philosophy class, you'll know that that's one of the things they say in Philosophy 101, is there a sound if there's none there to hear it? Well, for us, we're going to say, of course there's a sound, and there is. There is a law, and He does hear it. So there's, that becomes a moot point. Any sound that there is, Allah hears, and when something falls over and makes a noise, of course Allah knows it, and He hears it. So He's all hearing. Another point when we talk about this is Allah's capability. He is all capable to do whatever He wills to do. You want to be careful how you say this too, because some people say, I'll give you the Arabic so you have a reference. In Arabic it says, Allahu ala kulli shay'in qadir. And the meaning behind this, they'll say, is Allah can do anything. And that's wrong. That is not the meaning of it. Because if you said, okay, Allah, He can do anything, then the logical question for an illogical person, okay, to throw back at you would be, oh, well, can He die? Now, what are you going to say now? You just said He can do anything. Can He come in His creation? What are you going to say now? Could He be a human being? What are you going to say? Could He be in your toilet? Wow. What are you going to say? Can He be inside of people? What are you going to say? Because if you say He can do anything, then can He lie? Can He cheat? A'udhu billah, astaghfirullah. May Allah forgive me, but I'm just giving you the logical process that you go through if you say it the wrong way. What's the meaning behind Allahu ala kulli shay'in qadir is that Allah has the power to fulfill or do whatever He wills to do. Whatever His will is, then He has absolute power to do it. And whenever He wills to do anything. He does it, and by the way, now this is not a new concept. You'll find this as well in the Bible as you do in the Quran. That anytime He wants anything done, what does He do? How does He do it? How does Allah go about having things be done? Now think about this, because I'm going to give you another question from the so-called philosophers. We call them kuffar, disbelievers. When they say to you, oh, okay, your God can do anything, you say, yeah, okay. Then you say, well, can He make a rock so big that nothing can move it? Well, probably a lot of you already heard this question, and if you have, you may already know the answer. I hope you do. But if you haven't thought about it, this question in itself has got a problem right in the middle of it. Because if you said, for instance, yes, he can do anything, yeah, then he says, all right, can you make a rock so big nothing to move it? You go, yeah, okay. Look what he's going to say next. Can you make it so big that even he cannot move it? Now what you're going to say? Because if you say, yeah, he can do that, okay, now here's the rock he can't move, I thought you said he could do anything. Now, if you fall for that trap, then they're going to say, so that proves there's no God. I've been stuck for a while. Because your inability to answer his question, and his question distorting reality, both of you are going to sit there and come up with a conclusion, no Allah, that's crazy. That's absolutely ridiculous. Let's go backward and think about it again. We as Muslims say that Allah would never do anything that would make him no longer be Allah. For instance, he would not die. Okay? Another thing he would never do, he'd never put himself in hell. Well, a little girl told me that last week. I almost fell out of my chair laughing because, well, I was saying, what things do you know that Allah wouldn't do? She said, I know one thing. I said, what's that? She said, I know he wouldn't put himself in hell. You get that right. Because Allah doesn't put himself in anything that he creates. Okay? But let's go back and look at it again. Allah does things by what? He said it in the Bible. He said it in the Quran. But the statement be, and it is, let there be light, he says in the Bible, and there was light. And in the Quran, kun fayakun, be, and it is. And that's the creation of Adam, and that's the creation of Jesus as a miracle birth, and that's the creation of all of the universe, and it's the creation of everything that Allah once created. He says be, and it is. He doesn't have to go out here and, get a rock and get a lever and get a fulcrum and try to move it, and that's why you can't move the biggest thing in the world. No, we don't put things in that kind of a context with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't put him in the creation subject to the laws of the creation. Now we'll move to this. One of the scholars in Pakistan was sitting with me one day, and he gave the expression so I could understand it better. He said, you have to understand that all the laws in the universe are created by Allah. Centrifugal force, the law of gravity, the law of motion, inertia, and all of them are still laws and rules that Allah put there. And so when Allah wants to do anything, he can do it by using those laws that he already put there, or he can do it against those laws, or he can do it outside of them at all. How? And he gave an example. He said, suppose you take a glass of water and you drop it, okay? Well, it's always going to fall down. But if Allah wills, that glass will not fall down, but rather it would fall up. It would go the opposite direction by his will. He could do that. Likewise, he could just have it not move at all. You could let go of it, and it doesn't go anywhere. It doesn't fall down. It doesn't go up. And this is a simple way to try to understand that Allah works with, against, or outside of the laws that he put into effect for his creation and for us. And that's why it's easy for Allah to do whatever he wills to do. And remember, he just says, be and it is. Likewise, if he said, don't be there anymore, guess what? Well, it wouldn't be there, would it? So Allah doesn't come into his creation and try to move a rock. Now watch this. Let's go back and listen to that guy's question again. Let's think about this. He comes up to you. He says, you believe in God? You say, yes, I believe in God. Okay. So can your God do anything? No, he can't. Huh? What? That's right. He cannot do anything which makes him not be God anymore. He doesn't do that. He chooses or wills not to be in his creation. He chooses or wills not to violate what it is that makes him be God. He's God. He's Allah. Now, again, I'm going to tell you that some people don't get that right away. They have to think about it a little bit more. And so we're going to break it down from his book and look at the teaching, what he tells us. Now, well, I'm going to begin on another section right about here. So this would be like part three, okay? And we'll begin. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam, rasulullah. We're talking about the word Allah. And because of Islam is based real heavily and focuses on the central focus of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's important when you explain Islam is to explain Allah. And if you don't know a lot about it, get some books and read about it. And there's some great books on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. and they're called books of Tawheed, or from the word Wahid, or one, okay, or monotheism in Islam. Okay? Because Islam is complete submission and obedience and surrender and peace with Allah. That's what Islam means. Okay? So if you know that, then you need to know who's Allah immediately. You have to. Otherwise, how can you be in submission and surrender and obedience to and in peace with something you don't know what it is? So that's why we like to begin and always focus with the new people and those that would like to know about Islam, talk about Allah first. Because you cannot understand Islam if you don't really understand Allah. Okay? Now let's talk about what is it we believe about Allah. Okay? He's one, and he's uniquely one. He has no partners. There is no God beside him. Is this mentioned in the Quran? Yes, it is. La Sharika La means he has no partners. Is it mentioned in the Bible? Yes, it is. It very clearly says in two of the books in the Old Testament, which you find in Exodus, and the other ones in Deuteronomy. And what it says is that the first commandment, know the Lord thy God is one God, and you shall have no other God beside me. Meaning, God saying, no God beside me. And the second commandment is like it when he says, no image of anything in creation, not of anything on the earth or in the sea beneath or in the heaven above. No image worshiping. Don't put that as a partner with God. So it's very clear. Okay? And that's also in the New Testament. Know, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one Lord. Okay? And you have to obey his commands. That's in Mark. The book of Mark, which is the second book in the New Testament, the Injil, and the book of Mark, chapter 12, verse 29. But I recommend you start with verse 27, 28, 29, and see it in the context. It's very beautiful. And so we also have that in the Quran as well. Okay? Now, I'd like to just touch on that, and I'm going to move to that section here in my little reference. We're going to read from the Quran. I'm going to try my best to give some Arabic sound to this. I'm from Texas and I have enough trouble with English, but I'm going to try my best to Arabic. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض من ذا الذي يشفع عنده إلا بإذنه يعلم ما بين أيديهم وما خلفهم ولا يحيطون بشيء من علمه إلا بما شاء وسع كرسيه السماوات والأرض ولا يؤوده حفظه وهو العلي العظيم. Now, it says Allah, لا إله إلا هو. Allah, there is none who has the right to be worshipped except Him. Al-Hayyu Qayyum. He is alive, ever living. And he sustains and protects all that exists. Neither slumber nor sleep can overtake him. And everything in the heavens and the earth belongs to him. Then they ask you a question. This is called a rhetorical question. It means think about it and say, who is there that can make intersection with Allah except that he has to give them permission to start with? He knows what happens to them, his creatures in this world. And he knows what will happen to them in the hereafter. And they don't have any of his knowledge except what he gives them. In other words, you and I, we don't even have any knowledge except Allah has given it like on a loan, like a library book, which he can take away from us in a heartbeat. And it does happen that way. We come into this world like babies. We don't know anything. And we get knowledge. And then when we get old, and sometimes we lose our memories and so on, and that's exactly what happens. And then he says, Wati al kursi yuhusama wati wal ard. His kursi extends over the heavens and the earth. And he feels no fatigue in guarding and preserving all of it. He's the most high, the most great. Now this verse is called Ayat al kursi, or the verse of the chair. Now it's mistranslated sometimes as the verse of the throne, but we shouldn't say that because kursi means chair, or footstool, but it doesn't mean throne. The word in Arabic for throne is arsh. And this is not arsh. And by the way, would you like to find this in the Quran? You can. Just look in the second chapter, chapter 2, called Surah Baqarah, the cow. Look at verse 255, and that's where you're going to find it. Again, I'll mention it's chapter 2, or the Baqarah, And the verse number is 255, ayah number 255. And let's come back to this word cursing just for 1 second. And listen to what Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, peace be upon him, what he said about this. It's amazing. And what they ask him, is this Allah's arsh? Is this his throne? And look, he's telling him, no. He says, because this chair compares to his throne as though you would take a ring? A ring. Take your ring off your finger, think about this, and throw it in the desert. The size, the comparison of a ring in the desert is the size of this little kursi compared to a large arsh. But guess what? All of the creation of the heavens and earth, the universe, is so tiny that it also is like a tiny ring in the desert compared the universe to Allah's kursi. Now this will put you in your place in a hurry. I know it did for me. You stop and think, I'm 6 feet tall, okay? Almost. And so here I am, right? I think I'm pretty big compared to what? To other people. But how about compared to a mountain? No way, I'm nothing. But how about that mountain compared to, for instance, the moon? Whoa, the moon compared to the sun. Oh, come on, the sun is huge. The sun is a small planet, star in the universe, right? And that, in our galaxy is small. And our galaxy is inside the Milky Way. And the Milky Way is the part of the universe, the whole entire universe, right? Everything is so tiny, it compares like a ring to the desert, compared to Allah's kursi. And then the kursi is so small compared to the arsh, that it's like what? It's like another ring in the desert. And then Allah is what? Allah is mighty, azim. He is most high, ta'ala. He's most great, al-akbar. He is over everything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you can't imagine him. You can't, I can't. We cannot, as human beings, even begin to imagine when we talk about Allah. Subhanallah. Alhamdulillah. Glory to Allah, and mighty and above all the things they attribute to him, and worship is he. Wow. Alhamdulillah. By the way, it continues after that, and this is not our subject tonight, but it's so beautiful. I invite you to read the next two verses after that, because they really help put more in perspective about what our religion is really about, Islam, and what it is, and who is Allah as to those who are believers, and what is the true light of Islam. Read the next two verses when you have time. I want to focus, though, on our subject tonight, and that is the subject of who is Allah, what he is and what he's not. I like to mention this too, that when we talk about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we're talking about he is all powerful, he's absolutely just, he's absolutely fair, and he's absolute in everything that he is, first, the last, everlasting. And there is none who can even begin to encompass his great knowledge. I mean, we find scholars, we think, oh my God, this guy knows everything, and it's nothing, it's not even a drop in the ocean compared to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's knowledge. When we say he's all-knowing, he's all-merciful, the supreme, the sovereign, the Lord of the universe. I mean, I'm sorry, but can't we get the idea yet? We're talking about a real God. This is not a made-up something from human beings' minds. Human mind cannot encompass this God, because he created us. We don't create him. When people create their own God, that's when they come up with these weird things. Allah created us. We have a beginning. We have an end. We're in his creation. And that's why it's important to focus on this first, because once you admit that, once you come to that realization, that reality, then you see something else. You know what that is? That it's up to him to tell you what worship is, not you. Because you didn't create the God, therefore you cannot create the worship. It's as simple as that. We cannot say, this is what Allah is going to accept in worship. He better like it, because that's what I'm going to give him. No way. He will tell us what worship is, and he will tell us how to do it. And then, if we don't do it, and we have a choice, if we don't do it, we'll suffer consequences. It's as simple as that. So, I'd like to touch on a couple more little points, just to, you know, round this off a little bit. We don't give, these are some basic guidelines for Muslims in your knowledge of Allah, okay? We eliminate the concept of human qualities in Allah. It's called anthropomorphism. Yeah, right. Why are we having big words like this? Anyway, it means giving human qualities to Allah. Because with Allah, we don't do that, okay? We don't say, well, Allah is like my good buddy, you know, he's like my father, he's like, no. And also, I've seen bumper stickers that says, God is my co-pilot. I'm sorry, but this stuff for Allah upset me so bad. Even when I was Christian, I said, you can't even let God be number one, he's your co-pilot. Like what? You're going to turn and say, okay, God, take over, I'm going to take a break for a while? That's what Allah would be like. That's why, you know why? A lot of Christians are turning away from this concept. And we don't, by the way, I just need to put this in here, you know. Don't think that it's right to go and destroy people's belief in God. That's not what we're all about. In fact, that's the opposite of what we're about. We're not trying to destroy their belief in God. We're trying to improve their belief in God. So let's don't try to tear down what people believe until we build a platform or a bridge for them to get over to the true belief. And that's why we're going to stay on focus on what we have first. And then let them compare what they have to what we have. It's not right to go and say, oh, your Bible said this, and your preacher said that, because maybe they don't believe that anyway. You know, we don't know what the guy believes, or the lady believes. Let them, you know, let them decide for themselves what they believe. Tell them what we have. We're very clear on this. Let's listen to that one I mentioned earlier now, and we'll kind of wrap things up a little bit. And I'll repeat it again. It's from the end of the Quran. This is the 112th chapter out of 114 chapters. So it's two from the end of the Quran. It's called Surah Al-Ikhlas. Ikhlas means sincerity. If a person has real ikhlas, he has a lot of sincerity, okay? And we say he's mukhlas, a person with a lot of sincerity. But this, the Surah of Sincerity, is very beautiful. And it's, by the way, equated to be one-third of the Quran. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. Now, let me tell you, first before I tell you the meaning, the words, I want to tell you how this comes about. There's a story or hadith mentioning that some of the Quraysh people, that's the tribe of Muhammad, who were his enemies, like his own people, by the way, became his enemy because they didn't want to hear about worshiping one God. They had their own God, made up religion, and they didn't like what he was saying, worship one God. So some of them were trying to tease him and make fun of him or ask him, like, well, who is your God, Allah, anyway? Who's he related to? Like, is he from this God or from that God? Keep in mind, you know, the Greeks and the Romans had gods which could, you know, go back and forth between heaven and earth. They could copulate with the ladies here and have demigods, semi-gods, half-god, man-god, woman-god, goddess, you know. So they're asking, who is your God related to? Where's it coming from? What's the genealogy of your God? That's the type of question. Now listen to what. Before Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, before our Prophet, peace and blessing be upon him, before he can speak or open his mouth, Allah is putting the words before him. That's why it says cool, because the first one says say, and it's Allah telling Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say this, who Allahu ahad, say he is Allah, he is samad. Now remember, Allah means the only one to be worshipped, and then he's samad, and samad means the one that all of the creation depends on throughout all eternity for its sustenance. And yet at the same time, he is not sustained. Allah is not benefiting from the creation, but the creation has only Allah to seek benefit from, okay? So As-Samad is a beautiful word as well. It's one of the names of Allah, by the way. That's one of his names, As-Samad. Alhamdulillah. Okay, then it continues and it says that Allah Samad, Lam. Lam is a very powerful word here because in Arabic, it's like the, like, not, it's like big time, no way Jose, okay? Lam yalid, not the father of anybody. Well, Lam yulad, and he's not the son of anybody, he's not the offspring, not the son nor the daughter of anybody. Well, Lam, and not, see, to be compared to any of his creations. He is not like anything that you can see, anything you can hear, anything you can smell, anything you can taste, anything you can touch, anything you can imagine in your mind, Anything that has to do with your physical state of being in this creation, guess what? It doesn't compare to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's heavy. That is really heavy. There's another place in the Quran when Allah says, Laysa kamithlihi shay'in. And again, it's the same thing. There isn't anything like Allah. So get this in your mind. Because when you have this kind of belief, and you have the correct way, what's called real monotheism, or real tawheed of Islam, there is nothing that can come against that. That is your defense. That's your rock. That's your foundation. When all these goofy variations of Islam show up and people start trying to play around with, I think it means this or I think it means that. You know, it's not going to work. I was sitting yesterday, it was so funny, right after we had the khutbah, I sat there with we was in the university, I sat there with him for a while, and we were just, you know, kicking it back and talking a little bit, and the subject of who is Allah came up, and we went over some five questions that I usually ask in the class whenever I teach it, and this one, he was missing everything. He didn't get anything right at all, and I was trying not to step on his feet or hurt his feelings, but he was trying to argue with me. And I would say, well, no, Allah is not like his creation. And then all of a sudden the brother says, oh, this is ijtihad, brother. There's ijtihad on this. I said, what are you trying to say? He said, no, there's ijtihad on this. Are you trying to say there's ikhtilaf, argument? Because ijtihad doesn't mean argument. It means that you have to work to come to the conclusion. Right? In fact, the word jihad is, it relates to this word, which means to strive or work hard for something. And I said, hold on. Are you trying to tell me there's more than one opinion about who Allah is and what he's not? He said, yeah. I said, astaghfirullah, that would defeat the whole entire concept of Islam if you come up with this. And I was trying not to laugh in his face, but that's doing. How in the world could somebody say one equals one and the next guy says, yeah, but I think it also could equal three. And somebody else says, yeah, well, one could equal ten. No. I mean, you know, this destroys the beauty of Islam when you talk like that. There's one opinion only. Allah is one. Wahed. Ahed. Wahed means one, and Ahed means unique. And this word Ahed is in there. Listen again. Kul hu Allahu Ahad. Unique. There's no two coming after this. Allahu Samad. Alhamdulillah. Anyway, I did keep it cool, and at the end of the program when we sat together, the brother became, interested to learn more. And he became, very good with us. We don't want to drive anybody away. We're not trying to prove, like, I know something, you don't know it. Or, in fact, the opposite should be true. I shouldn't be promoting me. I should be promoting the correct belief in Allah. And so it would be wrong, to take advantage of somebody's ignorance. And by the way, while I'm on that subject, I'm going to wrap it up now with this little point. I like to leave little points in your mind when we wrap up something like this. Tonight, alhamdulillah, I hope that you and I gained some benefit and some knowledge by what I've read to you from the Quran and what I've referred to from the works of our scholars, okay? I hope that all of us benefited. But suppose that we did get some knowledge and maybe the next person, they don't have that knowledge yet, okay? It's incorrect in Islam for us to go up to somebody else and insult them or hit them over the head with it or pretend that we're somebody that we're not. We just said that all knowledge is belonging to Allah, and then He just gives us a little as He wills, okay? So this is wrong for us to go up and insult people or hurt their feelings or try to put them down in front of other people. In fact, this is something not Islam. This is not Islam. So when we find the brothers who walk up to somebody who's new to the community, they don't know, who is this person, so they walk up to him and say, let's find out, it's Aqidah. Aqidah in Arabic, it means your belief system, okay? So they'll say, where is Allah? And the brother goes, huh? Where is the law? And the brother's going like, what? Did you lose him? I don't get what you're saying. What do you mean, where is the law? And he says, brother, where is the law? And he said, Allah is everywhere? And he said, oh, man, yeah. He is screwed up. I see the word. You get that? And he's going, what are you talking about? I don't know what you're talking about. Okay, so this is not the right way to approach it. Okay, it really isn't. It's correct to say that Allah is not everywhere, because if you said Allah is everywhere, what will happen? You just got to put him in the creation, which we don't do. Plus, you're going to put him in some very compromising positions. You're going to say that, oh, he's in a beautiful sunset, he's in the rainbows, blah, blah, blah. But then all of a sudden, if he's everywhere, he's also going to be in somebody's toilet. I would be allowed to suffer Allah, and we're not going to say that. Allah forgive me for that. You're going to say he's in the AIDS virus, Audubillah, chemical waste, nuclear warfare, astaghfirullah, Audubillah. What are you talking about? Allah is not everywhere. He's outside of his creation. And he's mighty and above his creation. Don't put him in the creation. And that's the concept he's saying. He's so uniquely one that he doesn't dwell in his creation. If you say, well, I don't know about that. Well, Christians should know about it because it's very clear that that's how Solomon and David, more peace be upon them, that's how they described the law. They said when they built the house of Allah, just like we have the Kaaba in Mecca, they said that this house or any even the whole universe cannot contain Allah. Nothing in the universe, even the universe itself, cannot contain Allah. Okay? So we don't say that. So we want to be sure that even though that's an incorrect statement for somebody to say Allah is everywhere, you don't attack the person with that. That's not proper. The better way is to meet somebody, get to know them, and visit with them, sit with them, have tea with them, and develop a friendship and get a thirst for knowledge from them first. And if they say, gee, I want to learn more, I want to study more, this is fun, that's great. But if you're approaching them with, hey, brother, you don't know nothing, what do you think's going to happen? They're not going to come back to the masjid. You're going to divide the community up, and you're going to have a lot of people take advantage of that so they can promote their stupid beliefs and try to make these people even more messed up than they already are. And also, I mentioned this, that Allah's knowledge is everywhere. His hearing is everywhere. His sight is everywhere. And even it says that Allah comes down in the last part of the night to take the prayers of those who are staying up to worship Him. Okay? So, we know that there's a way that you can say it in English words, but it doesn't mean that Allah is existing in His creation. We just don't accept that. Because Allah Himself is mighty and above His creation, far above what they attribute to Him in worship. Because if you put Him in the creation, people will immediately begin to do what? They will worship the creation, thinking they're worshiping Allah, and that breaks up the beautiful, beautiful teaching of Islam, which is the correct worship. And we'll save that for another time when we talk about what is Islam and what is Ibadah in Islam. And today we were just talking about who is Allah. And the answer is, Allahu la ilaha illahu al-hayyul qayyum. Allah, He is the one who is alone in worship. None has the right to be worshipped as Him, and He is alive. Qul huwa Allahu ahad. And say, He is Allah, it means unique. There is none like unto Him. Wa lam yakuluhu kufuwan ahad. None like unto Allah. And so may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive me for my poor Arabic, my poor way to explain things, and guide me to do better, and guide all of us. And don't use what I just talked about to misguide anybody. And we pray and ask Allah to give the best of His guidance to all of His creation. Ameen. And may Allah forgive us all. Ameen. And may Allah teach us who He really is and how to worship Him on His terms. Ameen. And you've been listening, of course, to Islam Tomorrow.